coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to the Hagman Report. It is Monday, the 13th day of December 2021. Now, you're going to want to save this episode for a couple of reasons. Of course, this week, tomorrow my wife's going to have surgery, so we're going to be dark tomorrow. I'll make a determination as to the programming, the episodes following that. So we're going to be down tomorrow. This broadcast will play tomorrow as well. But after tomorrow, I'll know better as to what we're going to be doing with respect to the show. But boy, I'll tell you what, this is a great day today for a lot of reasons. One of which is I have in studio a gentleman that I've had the opportunity, privilege and pleasure to work with under the umbrella of SIIU, which is Russ Dizdar's organization. And more coming up on that here momentarily. Eric the Tech, how are you today? I just want to check in with you because it seems like it's been a while.
I'm here, so.
All right, well, that's good.
I'm doing good.
That's good, all right. And everyone else is doing well, all right. You know, folks, we have like a lot of headlines, and one of the things that I don't like to do is present information that's an inch deep and a mile wide. Because therein lies a problem of understanding. We look at today what's taking place with respect to everything from the Middle East, Syria, which is heating up right now, as we have seen earlier today. If you're on Galileo, of course, you received my alert, but there's stuff going on in Syria. There's stuff going on in the Middle East. But there's also one thing that's taking place. And this kind of draws everything together. And that's the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's other part. And, of course, that brings into question, what's going on there? Well, and why is that important? Why aren't, you know, I mean, as to the bigger picture here, I'm a big picture kind of guy. You know this. What's really going on in the interstate, with the interstate aspects of things, international stuff? How does the Ghislaine Maxwell trial stack up with all of the stuff, for example, that we're doing? And when I say we, I'm talking about the work that Russ Dizdar, this platform, and other platforms are doing. How does this all kind of tie together? So with me is a gentleman by the name, I'm just going to refer to him by the first name, Landon. And he has something called SaveThem.org. Now, this website, in fact, you can see it on your screen right now, SaveThem.org. Landon has been engaged in investigations of transnational human trafficking for the better part of a decade. And his website, again, is SaveThem.org. And I had the opportunity to meet Landon and work cases in this area with him. So I had to kind of twist his arm in order to get him to sit down and actually be on camera. It's my pleasure. It's a treat to have him here. We're going to be talking about the bigger picture here of what's really taking place. The fact that children, the vulnerable, they are the currency of those power brokers that we see calling the shots. And hopefully the objective here is to kind of contextualize everything that's taking place in the larger sense and bring it to tell you why it's going on and who's part of this and the networks and stuff. So, Landon, thank you so much for joining me today. I know it's
no problem, Doug.
Kind of a, yeah. I had to wrestle you in my office. Hey, come on. So Landon, you have SaveThem.org. You've been involved in this for the last, like I said, the better part of a decade. And you're here against the backdrop of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial.
Yeah.
All right. Which you, because I asked you earlier. What do you think? You know, and you said, you said it's basically we're not going to get anything out of this, right?
Right. Yeah, that's one of the challenges. And, you know, I come at this from the human trafficking side.
Yep.
That's where we grew up, working in Southern Africa and over through into the U.S. And the thing that we found over the years, and this is how I came across Russ, is that the occult sort of aspect of human trafficking, the part where religious crimes are committed using children, seems to be the under-the-radar component that the authorities, the churches, just general society doesn't want to touch. And so we uncovered this actually in South Africa, where we were doing a human trafficking investigation, and we found that crime syndicates were selling trafficked girls to a Satanist ring for sacrifice. Now, that's not something you can stand up in church and say, but that was the reality of what we found. And once we cracked that open, we had 411 Jane Does in the morgues of South Africa with unexplained deaths. It was a function of this relationship between the occult and the human traffickers.
Okay, so for the people that are listening and watching this, and this is one of the biggest problems I had, especially working with Russ, because now you know that I've seen some things, man, I'll tell you what I've seen, but you were there too. Yeah. And you kind of essentially told me, look, you're going to see some things that you're not going to believe. And boy, was that an understatement. But I'm trying to approach this from a person who doesn't know anything, right, essentially, okay? Or doesn't believe this stuff is going on. You know, the satanic panic back in the 80s. Oh, none of this is real. Right. It's all just BS. And then, you know, the Franklin scandal. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, how does this all fit in? And how does, for example, in South Africa, the human smuggling component, how do they marry up with a satanic group? I mean, how does that happen? You don't look on Craigslist, do you? I mean,
right? No, it's
So all of that, you know, dumb it down for me specifically.
Okay. Well, the way we came across this and originally, and the way that I came to know Russ was that we run safe houses where we've rescued children and also young ladies. And what we started seeing was that we had dissociative identity disorder, DID, multiple personality type stuff, showing up in human trafficking victims. But what happened is that a lot of those also married up with stories around the occult,
okay,
and Satanism and being taken into horrible situations that we had no experience with. And so I sought out Russ and his team to help us get educated on how to deal with these kids and how to help them.
Right.
Because you would work with somebody for 9 months and you think this girl is just a believer in Jesus and she loves Jesus. And then the next day she's cursing Jesus and trying to kill people. And it's like flipping on a dime. Well, we didn't understand that personality switch and things like this. So that is a big thing. And when you come into the U.S., you find that in the psych wards all over the country, they're just overwhelmed with DID. Where could it possibly have come from? How do all these kids have split personalities? Nobody deals with the occult part of this and the programming of this. And is it okay if I mention Nazis?
Please. You can mention anything you want to mention.
Okay.
We don't censor here.
So here's people don't like to talk about Nazis unless it's the kind of the media's portrayal of Nazis. But here's the reality. After World War II, Germans dispersed.
Right.
Two places they dispersed to a lot are South Africa and Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. And so
it's a Keystone State. Yes. All right.
So you're the proud host of people who are a couple generations separated from Nazi ideology, which was grounded in the occult. The manipulation of children. All of this sort of stuff permeates across the generations. And so that came into South Africa. We figured it out there. And then when I was working with Russ here, it's the same footprint.
So this is the hardest part to really wrap my brain around, I guess. And folks, you're probably familiar with programs like Criminal Minds, for example, the behavioral analysis. So I'm okay with that.
Right.
And there was an episode, I don't know, probably half dozen years ago of Criminal Minds where there was a program about dissociative identity disorder or multiple. Anyway, they kind of made it sound like there was that was just a psychological break as opposed to a programmed break.
Yeah. Well, it's both.
So, okay.
It's both.
Do tell.
Okay. So the Lord actually created us to have our minds compartmentalize trauma. And that's a blessing because who wants to be in a car wreck and watch their mom die and relive that trauma every day of their life?
Okay.
So our brain is able to shut that pain off and compartmentalize it. And sometimes that leads to a personality split or a break. And that's how we're designed.
Right. Well, I get that.
What ugly people like the Nazis decide to do is they decide to go in and intentionally break because they figured out that they could form the newly created personalities to do things they wanted them to do.
So, okay, and to be clear, this did not originate with the Nazis. This was refined by the Nazis.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're talking a long history of this.
Correct.
into antiquity. Okay.
Yeah.
So rather than rehash, 2,000 years worth of this, so from picking up from the Nazis forward, and that's where Russ, and this is kind of where I kind of picked up with Russ too, and seeing, for example, and folks, I got to tell you, I cannot adequately describe what I've seen, but I've seen some things, and you were right there with me. We've seen some things that. I just can't describe it. When you look at a person and they're, I don't want to say normal, but they're speaking normally and all of a sudden, they switch into a Nazi. Yeah. I mean,
literally, I didn't know you knew German.
Yeah. And I'm talking about somebody that, and I use this before, somebody working at Walmart, for example, or that looks like they would work at Walmart or a drugstore or, just an innocuous place. Somebody very unassuming. And again, So you're speaking to them ordinarily or maybe in an interview setting as a witness to something. And all of a sudden you see this break or this change and they start speaking in fluent German. Flawless, and then they switch back. But do they remember switching? I mean, in the programming, and I don't know if I'm kind of going on a dry hole here.
I mean, my experience on the more program side, as opposed to the incidental trauma side,
right.
Which in human trafficking you do get the incidental trauma piece because the trauma is so raw, it does break people's personalities. That tends to they know more of what's going on across personality. My experience around the programming intentional side is that it tends to be more compartmentalized. And that's because the programmers and handlers want to keep it that way. And so you'll usually have an upfront personality who kind of doesn't know what's going on. But then on the inside, the personalities kind of talk to each other. I understand this is kind of weird to describe. Like, you talk about the inside and all this, but think about it like a house. And there are rooms in the house and everybody's living together. It's like a Big Brother episode.
Okay.
And everybody's living together, gossiping, fighting, and then every once in a while somebody comes to the microphone. All right. Now, there's a front personality though who's the one that goes to work, lives day-to-day life, and that personality is usually not supposed to really know what's going on. And they'll keep everybody else at bay.
But that's the physical part. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the actual three-dimensional person, right?
Yes.
That goes to work and Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this, but folks, you get the idea, right? I mean, this is something. Now, these are victims, though, right?
Yeah. And I want to reiterate, I'm not an expert in any of this. I just stumbled into it because you rescue a child and you work with them for months and months and months. And then suddenly they're switching into these different personalities. And you're like, what do we do? What does my house mother at the safe house do with this child that can't stay stable? Because she's a threat now to other children because she wants to hurt everybody. So these are real things. And I have to tell you, Doug, we've got a 2-year-old right now. I just turned 3 in one of our safe houses who is switching.
Wait a second.
Switching.
At that age?
Yes. Switching and going into these deep traumas, trying to murder his brother. His brother came in with him. And it's horrible. And the older brother switches and he starts talking about all these bloody things. He's obviously watched bad movies. Okay.
Yeah.
And he kind of like his personalities adopt the things he's seen in the movies, and then he threatens his brother. It's horrific. Now, how do you take that into a foster care program? You don't.
No, you don't.
You don't. Right. So, and this is real. These are day-to-day real challenges. The authorities don't want to deal with it, all of this. So when we talked earlier about the big picture, the big framework,
right.
Power brokers can manipulate children. They can break them in a second. People's lives are destroyed instantly. And to prosecute that person takes years, and that's one person, okay? But all the people they've hurt were hurt instantly, and that's a lifetime of trauma. So the system isn't set up to actually respond to this.
Okay, so let me see if I get this straight, because you see on forums and people putting stuff out on the internet, missing children, okay, which is a thing. Yeah. And I think we're under-reporting the number of missing children in this country.
Sure.
And across the globe. But all right, so, but people might say, well, this is just, that's an exception. That's a really, you know, there's not that many children like that, or the vulnerable. There are not that many people like that. How do you respond to that? Because you've what I've heard from you, we could spend days talking about this, and we wouldn't even scratch the surface.
This is something we had to come to grips with. So we kicked off a lot of our interventions in 14, and right around 17, we had to make a decision, because at least 50% of the kids we were rescuing didn't exist. They didn't exist. They had no papers. They had never been registered. They didn't have the equivalent of social security numbers or anything. And the authorities can't handle a child who doesn't exist. So we had to create actual capabilities to register children that don't exist. What people don't understand is that there's a whole subpopulation of this world who never gets registered, never gets an ID number or anything, and they are used in different environments for horrible things.
Where do they come from?
You hate to generalize, but it's typically in vulnerable environments. You know,
I mean, is it a situation where my neighbor, I don't know, maybe there's a incest situation, I don't even, go ahead.
It's typically very, very poor environments, trailer parky kind of broken down type environments.
Those people live in trailer parks. I love trailer parks.
I'm just saying it in the kind of the pop culture, you know,
right.
Everybody discriminates against these areas. And I think that's part of the power broker's game, is to have everybody just assume that what happens in these vulnerable environments stays in the vulnerable environments, right? Meanwhile, they poach kids all day long from these places and use them for their purposes. And that's what we found in our work up here, working with Russ's team, is that the kids that often get taken are taken from environments where you won't suspect them. So it's orphanages, it's not just trailer parks, but orphanages, it's illegals, okay?
So hold it right there, because we up here, we had followed folks, and you may remember this, Alex Jones, InfoWars, they were down in McAllen, Texas. They watched a group of young people being put on a bus, then on a plane. And we tracked them up here in Erie, okay, where they were offloaded, went to a temporary place, and all of a sudden, man, they're gone.
Yeah.
So the open southern border, right? This plays a role in this too.
And this is why it's a global footprint, because everything you just described is exactly what happens in South Africa.
Okay.
But it's the Zimbabwe border. It's the Messina land crossing, and they are swept up and taken to Johannesburg. It's the exact same footprint globally.
So, all right. And so there's obviously a market out here for these children. So is it during this process of transport where they are traumatized to the point where they become multiples, or is that a consequence of, or is that the, is that a, does that happen at a later time?
So my assessment there is that the incidental trauma that you get, the splitting that happens from a lot of rape and beatings and all that kind of stuff, often happens during the break-in period, we call it. It's that first 2 weeks after someone's taken, and they're basically prepped for service. I hate to use such crass words, but
no, that's fine.
Yeah, this is how it works. And they are taken to a house, and they are repeatedly abused before they're fielded, okay, by their captor. To me, that's a different value chain than the bred occult use aspect, because there's bloodline and there's all kinds of different concerns that the occult cares about, which they're going to actually, like, we've had victims come in and say, I was a breeder. Three of my babies were aborted and sacrificed, and on my fourth baby I escaped. But here's the kicker. That girl's fourth baby was her sister, because her dad ran the coven.
Okay, so, and this is what...
That's different, right?
And yeah. This is kind of the area where where I'm focused, and where I know Russ is focused. So what is the overall... I mean, why... Okay, yeah, walk me through this. So you've got you mentioned covens, you mentioned interbreeding, bloodlines. I mean, give me like the 101 on this.
Right, so a lot, like everything in life, it comes down to motivation.
Right.
What drives me when I wake up in the morning? For a Nigerian human trafficker who runs an organized crime ring, his motivation is mammon and survival.
All right.
He wants to make money, and he wants to be a kingpin. He doesn't want to die tomorrow, so he's going to just press on. Okay, that's his motivation. So if you hit his bottom line, he's going to try to kill you because you're taking his bottom line. But that's because he cares about money and survival. The occult's different. The cult's motivation is to serve Lucifer. It's to serve Satan. It's to serve their God. And a lot of that involves things like blood sacrifice, sexual sacrifice, whatever. So they're using their captees for those motivations and those services, which are religious in nature.
But it's religious. Bigger than that, though. From what I've seen, okay, and again, very, very limited. Folks, this is LandonSaveThem.org. That's SaveThem.org. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. There it is on your screen. So, okay, so let's dive into this occult aspect of this.
Yeah.
All right, so you have a bunch of people sacrificing children. And I'll tell you what, from what I've seen, and correct me if I'm incorrect here, the abortions and the sale of baby parts by way of Planned Parenthood and other means. I mean, this plays a part in it. The objective of these people, of these occult people that you're talking about, goes to a bigger objective and bigger agenda. And this is why we see the big headlines. And I would also say this is why we're seeing the enslavement of a global population. But I digress. But, yeah. So okay. So what's the talk? What's going on here?
So I like to operate in logic, and our society has become illogical. We have a legal system which is currently being challenged, which provides for legal organ harvesting of babies.
Yeah,
it creates the framework to allow us to kill children, chop them up, and spread their stuff around.
Sure, okay. Covered. But yeah, exactly.
A lot of people think that the things that went on in Germany in World War II were these guys illegal. No, they were legal. They created the frameworks to execute their crimes legally.
Right.
Right. So that's where the skinny is. That's where the rub is. So when you have that kind of environment, organ harvesting, sex trafficking, abuse of children to meet your purposes of sacrifice, so that these guys really think they gain power and all this kind of stuff from that.
Right.
But the system plays in their favor. So you can't that's why prosecutions never work, because for this kind of crime, because the system is in their favor and they say, well, it's not against the law to be a Satanist. Well, true.
I've heard that from law enforcement here.
True. I mean, all things like that are true. But when a Satanist goes to the ultimate end of his conviction, that Lucifer wants sacrifice, which means people die, well, that should be a criminal activity. Problem with our system is it usually doesn't address those things till after the fact. Well, that didn't help that one child, did it? That one child is no longer with us. We dealt with this with the Pennsylvania thing where there's the child with the shoes. Where's the child?
And we've showed those shoes on air, folks. Yeah. And this gentleman here was part of a larger team and is part of a larger team. Looking for the body of that child, because this is an active investigation. So, but people might say, well, this really isn't that big of a problem. And, you know, the people like Marina Abramovic, or however you pronounce her last name. Yeah, Abramovich. You know, they're just artistically inspired. You know, it's using blood and whatever else. But there's something else, and I'm not picking on her only or picking on her period. There's something else going on here. Because where does that come from?
And I think what people don't, the average person doesn't understand if they haven't been paying attention, is that Luciferians are highly committed to their religion. And if the Christian church were as committed to its religion as the Luciferians are to theirs, everybody'd be a Christian. I'm telling you, because it would be so amazingly obvious that the truth of Jesus is the only thing that will save your soul. But because the church is asleep and lukewarm, Luciferians, et cetera, run under the radar.
Right.
Unchallenged. And now the laws of our country reflect that lack of challenge.
You know, yeah. And we had a discussion, too, in the office. I mentioned, of course, well, you know, a lot of this stuff was dispelled with satanic panic excuses. That's not true. Ooh, that's one thing we found. That's not true.
It's not true. And if people were critical thinkers and logical about this, they wouldn't take every single thing they hear in the mass media propagation and just take it as gospel. They take anything they hear as the majority opinion, and they just say, well, that must be true because the majority of people say it. That's not always true. You know, St. Augustine, who's a kind of a father of the Christian church, you know, he said that just because everybody's doing something doesn't make it right.
Right.
You know, and also just because the minority are doing something doesn't make it wrong. Okay, so.
Okay.
All right, which means that truth is truth.
Truth is truth. And that's something that.
You've got the thing on the.
Yeah, you know, the war against the truth, you can see it taking place in all across the internet, social media. By the way, Eric the Tech, how much time do we have? All right, thank you, buddy. All right, yeah, just give me a heads up. Okay, so. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. By the way, Landon, folks, from SaveThem.org, running parallel investigations with SIIU up here. I got to tell you, just such a pleasure to have Landon with me, as well as a couple of other team members. They are the best at what they do, and identifying and fighting against human and child sex trafficking, human trafficking all across, not just the United States, but all across the world. And your specialty, of course, was transatlantic, transnational, focusing on South Africa.
But well, and you know why it became transatlantic was that what we found is that there were Thai women who were being shipped from the East, and they were being shipped into South Africa, and they were having their documents falsified, and then they were being pushed to the U.S. East Coast, to Argentina, and to Europe. And we actually found a container of dead Thai women in the Cape Town Harbor. And they were all wrapped up like UPS parcels in paper bags, like a UPS package. And the reason the sniffer dogs found them is because they all died. Well, that's one container. This stuff's happening all over the place. And what we found is that a lot of that traffic took us straight to Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta, Georgia is one of the biggest hubs in this country. And when the traffickers get their people in Atlanta, they go straight up the 85 corridor towards DC, New York, and they go straight west on the 20 towards Dallas. So it's a huge hub, okay? But it's transnational, and it's something that shows up in downtown Atlanta started in Bangkok. Okay. This is a global issue. It's not compartmentalized. But in the US, all local activity is handled through your sheriff's office and all that. So we've spent a lot of time, when we talk about truth, trying to educate local sheriff's offices, local safe houses. How do you understand that you're part of a big global picture and yet you have to act locally? You're helping a child here, but they came from Romania.
Wow.
How did this happen? You know, we were in South Africa one time. We found a container of Nepalese people who had been shipped into the center of South Africa and were found in a field. How did a container of 49 Nepalese people end up in a field in South Africa?
Doggone shipping address was wrong. Look, I'm not going to make light of this. I don't know. I mean, how does that happen?
And so as we started working in South Africa, we started understanding the satanic networks,
right,
and the occult networks that run parallel to organized crime. It helped answer questions, because what truth shows you is that if you understand motivation, you'll usually understand the crime.
Okay. Yeah. So, and the motivation for the satanic part, which we could talk like for days on this. There's a biblical element here, the biblical end game that these people are working toward.
Yeah.
And this is something, folks, I got to say, this is something that the Russ and I spoke about. Russ would tell, you know, try to educate me on this. God bless him because he had a lot of patience.
Yeah.
So
we all miss the rest.
Yeah. You know, and now of course, Landon, let's go Landon right now. No,
come on, man.
What's that? All right. We'll be right with John Moore coming right up. But there is a biblical objective to all of this, you know, a larger objective that people have to understand.
Yeah. And as we've been working the cases up here, what we find is that, the folks within the occult networks, they are fully convinced that they are working with spiritual entities who are shaping the agenda of Antichrist and that they are moving towards the end times. I mean, they are so convinced of that, you could never convince them otherwise. They're going to do everything in their power to serve their God.
And you know,
kids get hurt.
So, okay. So, and folks, we're going to have Landon back, and we're going to also have him phone distant conversations, because this subject is so important, especially as we look at Ghislaine Maxwell. Mm-hmm. Give me your take on Ghislaine Maxwell. What the heck is going on with him, Epstein, you know, all of these power individuals, and why aren't we going to hear? For example, you got Comey's daughter.
Yeah.
Prosecuting this case. You got a judge. What's up with that judge? I mean, you know, so.
Well, and through our cases, we've also uncovered the whole judge networks and stuff. And I think what we have to realize in the United States is that the power brokers work for the enemy at this point. It's there's too much of the system that's been turned over to those who serve the dark side. And so you're not going to see the system judge itself. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we forget that Satan has domain over this world at this time. So why would Satan prosecute himself?
That's true.
His house, if divided, will fall, right? So he's That's not right. going to split his house. So we have to understand the fight we're fighting. You know, we're to make disciples. We're to take care of the widow and orphan. And we've got to save souls for Christ Jesus. But as far as winning judicial battles in Satan's domain, this is his territory, and Christ's righteousness will only be shown, that light will only be shown in this darkness if the Christians rise up and shine that light. The state is only ever going to err towards our enemy. Yeah.
Okay. And this is why, too, when you have publications coming out and, you know, what's your evidence of satanic ritual crimes and such? Well, here it is. No, that's not evidence. That's just, you know, whatever it is. But, yeah, that's nothing. This isn't happening. It's all made up. It's all a conspiracy theory. You guys are a bunch of kooks. Yeah. You know, how do you put that down where, I mean, I guess it's really not necessarily to combat it, except for those people watching and listening. They've got to understand this is a real thing going on.
Truth
here.
Is the core.
That's right.
Because you can discredit a witness as well. Our witnesses get discredited all day long because one of their personalities is a really bad one who does bad things. They just use that to discredit the entire experience of the witness and everything she went through. And like I said, the system's against you in this fight.
Well, yeah, in that one episode in Criminal Minds, that Derek said... I don't even know. In the MPD thing, I don't even know what to do with this. And the leader of the thing said, "Well, let's just let the judge sort it out." Ain't gonna happen.
No framework. Nope. He has no framework to make those decisions or judgments. Same with the authorities; they don't know how to collect evidence on the occult. Therefore, they don't go after it.
Which is something that this group, folks, we're going to be doing together to educate the law enforcement aspect of things. Your fellow investigators obviously know a lot. You've seen a lot. So, I mean, in the last remaining few minutes we have, the bottom line here, this is a huge problem. The commerce, the children who are being trafficked, the vulnerable who are being trafficked and are being exploited by, dare I say, satanistic occult rituals?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. We broke a 7-year cold case where a girl had been killed, and I don't want to be too graphic, but basically things had happened to her, which we could easily identify. 7 years, they didn't know what happened. Meanwhile, they knew that her dad was part of a satanic coven network. They knew that. All his friends were Satanists and everything, but there was nothing that they could pin until we showed up and we said, guys, the death profile of the daughter matches exactly the ritual of the Satanist network, and the date of the crime is what they couldn't figure out. But what we realized is we were in the Southern Hemisphere. So what we did is we flipped the calendar. And the moment we flipped the calendar and made it seasonal Southern instead of seasonal Northern, everything came together and they figured it out.
Oh, my word.
Okay. That's not a hard thing to do, but it takes a little bit of doing.
Okay. So, yeah, because you got to think out of the box. Right. So I just got, because you told me this before and I had a hard time really kind of putting this together. So walk me through that one more time.
Yeah. So if you worship the moon.
Right.
Then you follow the moon cycle,
right,
and all of this. Well, then you're going to have seasonal ritual activity.
Correct.
Depending on where you are in the globe, the dates might not be the same or whatever, whatever your system is holding to. So all we had to do is figure out what's the system that the perpetrator holds to. The evidence falls right in line once you do that.
So, okay, and in that case, you were using a calendar applicable to the Northern Hemisphere when in fact it would be more correct. Inclined. So yeah, and this is why you got to think outside the box.
Yeah. And it's just, easily done, but it takes a little bit of work. Yeah.
My goodness. Folks, if you want more information, but by the way, can people correspond with you at all? Or
we have an address on our website that they can just scroll down to the bottom. Our email address is there, savethem.org.
Yeah. Okay, and they can support you through the website, savethem.org as well.
One thing, if I can plug, sure. Our team set up this really cool thing with Amazon.
Yeah.
If you support Amazon, it's up to you, whatever. But if you do the smile.amazon, purchasing, look up Save Them. And it's the one registered in Arlington, Virginia. And your purchases this Christmas will go to the Safe House work that we do. Smile.amazon, savethem.org. Yeah.
Use their infrastructure against them.
Exactly.
All right, folks. Landon from savethem.org. You know, I want to thank you very much for all you do, because this guy's got guts. I'm going to tell you right now. And so did the...
Just to come on the show, that's...
Well, yeah.
That's been the big thing.
I said, I have to show my face. I said, well, yeah, sorry, man. So, you do a lot of great work. The team does a lot of great work. And of course, SIIU, people like Tom Dunn and all the unnamed people.
And thanks to y'all for kind of just letting these conversations happen.
Sure, man.
Because it's ultimately working to help those kids.
Yeah.
And if we're too scared to have conversations as adults, then that means kids don't get saved. So that's what we're trying to overcome.
Well, and we see this too. And in closing, we see this too. You know, we talk about the coronavirus and stuff. Well, what about ivermectin? Oh, I can't talk about that. Seriously, you know, we can't have a discussion even. We can't have a discussion about this. Is this happening? And if not, why not? And who's putting the breaks on discussions like this, and we have to have this because sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So, all right, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll talk to you again. Folks, that was Landon from savethem.org and others. I've got to tell you, we have just a wonderful, you know, support savethem.org and go to the website. You can correspond with them. You'll see it on savethem.org. And the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Before I go to John, I want to just thank our corporate sponsors for hanging with us and appreciate all of them, including Lightstream. You know, the holidays are here, folks, and this year, give yourself the gift of extra money in your pocket. You can pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. I've got to tell you, these folks are fabulous. I love these guys at Lightstream because they've saved my family a lot of money, a lot of discretion, or given them additional discretionary income through reducing their debt load. You can roll your high interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You get a loan from like $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. How is that for convenience? Go to lightstream.com. just for my listeners, my viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's LightStream.com/Hagman. Lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. That's subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. All right. Now that I've lost control of my program clock, I have got no idea how far, how late, how early I am with John Moore. TheLibertyMan.com. This guy has made some interviews that he's had recently. I've got to tell you, I've seen the information that John has given coming back to me, okay, on other platforms. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com, who does a radio show every weekday from, there it is on your screen, from 7 to 10 Central Time every weekday morning. I got to tell you what, John has got a lot of great information with respect to what's going on in the world today, and especially nationally and internationally. I mean, especially nationally, but internationally as well. That's John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. I would urge everyone to go there, bookmark the website, and take a look at what he's got in terms of news down the page and support everything that John does and support his, you got to support him. You got to support all of this. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to do what we do. And we're out there in the field. We're more than a chair force. We are a ground force as well. So John, thank you so much for your, for hanging with me, brother. I know we're off today by a lot. And just a reminder, folks, tomorrow, because of my wife's surgery, I'm not going to be here. There will be more. I'll know more after tomorrow. So just keep your eyes on HagmanReport.com. All right. John, thanks for waiting. Thanks for being so patient. What's on your mind today, my brother?
Sure. It's good to be with you, Doug.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Fine.
All right. Thank you, Doug. I'm having issues with Zoom this morning, so if the signal just goes away spontaneously, it's an issue with Zoom.
Don't make me drive down there and grab you. You know what? We're going to have to do it. You and I are going to have to do an in-studio one of these days.
That'd be fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. Your studio or mine?
I'm coming over to your place. How's that? Oh, we're frozen. Okay, can you believe that?
Okay. Well, we can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and take me off the screen and put him on if you can. Or if not, hang on a second, Doug? John. Hold on, John. You're kind of, you sound like, what's that, Max Headroom thing. Are we okay? Okay, you're good now. Go ahead.
I'm good now. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the biological warfare being waged against us by the communist Chinese continues to be the top of my concerns. It seems to be never ending that we, each succeeding week, we learn something new and even more horrendous about the COVID-19 clot shot than we knew the week before. Because of the gestation period and the time delay, we're just now starting to hear more and more about what's going on with pregnant women and their babies. Baby mothers got the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. Babies being born and immediately taken to ICU because of massive issues the children have, typically breathing, these newborn babies. It's criminal what's going on. Pharmaceutical companies are lying to the doctors. The doctors pass along those lies as if they're truth to their patients. And the suffering is with the mothers and the babies that are sick and dying. I have a very immediate message for anyone who knows a woman who is or could be pregnant. Don't get the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. Simply don't do it. If you already got it and you're pregnant, it's too late. You can't be unvaccinated. I'm sorry to say that, but you may have caused this child.
All right, John, you got froze up there again. I'm not sure what the deal is. I know that we had a lot of storm issues over this past weekend. And by the way, our thoughts, our prayers are, in fact, I've been talking with some people in Kentucky And it's just a horrendous situation down there. But John, I don't know if we lost him or not, but the fact of the matter is, there's this, you know, where's our right to try, for example, other medications? But even bigger than that, is John there or did he dip? Okay. All right. You know, the issue to me, and folks, I don't know, do you feel this way? This is gone. And John, if you can hear me, just hang loose or reconnect or whatever. I'm sorry about all these issues. The big picture here is this. This bioweapon known as SARS-CoV-2, this bioweapon was an engineered bioweapon exploiting gain of function use through Fauci, through the CDC, through the NIH, through the NIAID, into University of North Carolina, Ralph Barrick's organization, that funded, that was given funds to sub-grant out into Wuhan. They were doing this gain-of-function study for a number of years. This goes back to 2014, 2015, at the very least. So all of this, okay, they were messing around where they should not. They ought not to have been messing around, whether this was released deliberately or by accident, it doesn't matter. These are the people who are doing it. So, having said all that, in comes the vaxxers. John, you're back. So now you can pick it up with these clot shots, these jabs, Satan's semen, I guess some call it. So is this is obviously a depopulation move, right? Measure. Oh, he can. Say, hang on a second, John. I'm talking to. If you can hear us, just shut down your video. We're gonna put your website up, and we'll talk that way. And that'll save some bandwidth, and it may solve the issues. So Eric the tech, just let me know. I don't dead air is bad for radio, as well as video. So and folks, you know, last week, look, I had a personal situation where the physician talking with the physician. I get the fact that maybe this individual has seen incredible death, suffering from this bioweapon, whatever. I get that. Okay. If you're on the ground and you're in a hospital setting and you're treating these people, okay. But for that same physician to say, well, the only answer, for example, and I'm using this as an example, would be to get this injection. Wait a second. Hold on a minute. This flies in the face of everything, of the years of study. In fact, I took a lot of images this past weekend. Unfortunately, because of the the show today, I didn't send them to Eric. But the charts, the lead times for these vaccines, real vaccines versus the mRNA technology. Let me know if, should I shut up and see if John can talk to us? Okay, so we're trying to get John back. We had this problem many times, so I don't know what the actual problem might be. But so we see this taking place, and yes, there is death. I mean, we've lost people close to us. I've lost people close to me. Now, there's also something else going on, I believe. With respect to the so-called answer to all this, the clot shots, the Satan semen, the death shots, the injections, as Steve Quayle had said, you know, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you wind up dead. And that's very true. In many cases, they're under-reporting the number of adverse events and reactions. By orders of magnitude, under-reporting this, whether it's VAERS or yellow card or whatever it might be, whatever system you find yourself under. So what's the real objective here? Yeah, so you've got a doctor, for example, who's in the trenches in your hospital, and let's put the doctor in your hospital, in your community, working in your community, and he sees all this suffering, and he's told, he gets a piece of paper, you know, from the hospital administrator, look, this is how we're going to treat this. This is the medically, this is the medical protocol. This is the approved medical protocol. And it has remdesivir, and it has the ventilation. I mean, the protocol. You, you don't go to the hospital until you need to. You're admitted. They put you in a COVID ward or ICU. You're put on remdesivir for a five-day regimen, which is $3,100. The hospital's, you know, the hospital gets money for that. The hospital gets subsidized for ventilator charges as well as the COVID positive COVID test results. And the person winds up dead. But can the doctor use his medical skills to say, wait a minute, I found through my studies, my research that, oh, I don't know, this drug or that drug, if it's hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, in combination with other steroid drugs or whatever, works. Why don't they try that? See, and this is the bottom line here. If they said, wait a minute, go ahead and try whatever you want to try. You're the doctor, you know, the administrators, you're the doctor. If you've done your research and you think this could help, then by all means, try it. With approved drugs, just off-label, right? But they're saying, no, don't you dare. We're going to take your license. We're going to take your privileges away. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. There's something really wrong here, isn't there? Do we fault the physicians? This is what you signed up for. Yeah. If you're given a protocol, because of the conversation I had last week, and I'm going to go back to that just briefly. Okay. Very briefly. I've got one patient a week dying, you know, I was told. Well, have you thought about trying something different? Yeah, how many times are you gonna stick to that one person dying every day or every week, every month, whatever it might be, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again because you're told to by the hospital administrator? Don't you think, wait a minute, let me try this? Or if the family comes in, invoke the right to try. But no, the hospitals will go to, they will take you to court. They will arrest you. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a family arrested. They got a judge to order the right to invoke the right to try, to order the ivermectin and whatever other protocols for this person. And the hospital said no and had them arrested by police. Now, look, at that level, there's something else going on. So John Moore is back. Thank you, John, for your patience. I don't know what's going on with this. Maybe we'll just take a tin can and a string. But anyway, thanks for coming back. So you were saying, as you were saying, brother, it's your turn. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. We have him or not? Or okay. John, can you hear me? All righty then. Is this thing on? Hello. All right. You're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. John Moore is with me. John, you're going to have to unmute yourself. No, he's just hung up on me. You heard that, didn't you? So this is where we're at. This is the bottom line. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to do here is really come to the, look, I believe that because I've lost friends to this bioweapon. And I'm not talking about the jab. I'm talking about the actual bioweapon. Yes, there were some problems, inherent problems, physical problems. But that doesn't make the loss any less significant. Would the injections have helped them? No, I don't think so. I don't know that, though. I don't know. Okay, I'm not, and I'm willing to say, I don't know everything. I'm not a physician. I don't have a medical degree. I'm not a virologist. And that's the other thing, too. Many of the general practitioner doctors, they've, what, taken 3 hours worth of virology, immunology, and suddenly they're experts in this, or hospital administrators who have not practiced in a hospital setting for a long, long time. All right, John, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, that sounds really good. Better. So we've got them on the old school way on the phone. So we're gonna put your website up. And we're just going to have a relaxing conversation from here on in, or actually a good conversation, but one that's not fraught by "can you hear me now" sentences. So, John, pick up where you left off, the jab, the
Okay. Well, First of all, a warning and alert for all our listeners. We are at war. Biological warfare is being waged against the United States and most of the world, by the way, by Communist China. If you and I were to get off a plane today in Beijing, we would see everybody wearing a mask. If we happen to get transportation a few miles outside the city and go anywhere else in the country, nobody's wearing a mask. It's all a Potemkin village setting for the benefit of foreign journalists and foreign visitors. There is no pandemic in China. Well, there's no pandemic anywhere, really. The whole thing is make-believe. When 0.3% of the people that get this disease die, you don't have a pandemic. The thing was make-believe from the beginning. It was. Well, it'll be.
Wait a second. John, let me ask you a question, okay? So you're telling me that I had a good friend that caught something, this bioweapon, and passed away. Now, right. Look, this is real to me, all right? This is absolutely real to me. And I have another friend that got this and also passed away, but had a heart attack and passed away too. So my question is, when you say this is kind of a fake, now, I know what you mean, but is this something, I mean, well, go ahead.
Well, let me get some clarification then.
Okay.
First of all, they changed the definition of what constitutes a pandemic in 2012. Under the earlier, more traditional, historic definition of what it takes for a disease to be a pandemic, what's been going on for 24 months, this is the 24th month, by the way, would not be classified as a pandemic simply because 0.3% of the people that get it die and 99.7% of the people that get it don't die. That's not a pandemic under the traditional historic definition of what is a pandemic. I'm obviously not saying people don't die. Clearly, people have died. Of course they have.
Sure. I wanted you to clarify that because that'll save you and me getting the hate.
That's important. I'm not saying there's not a disease. I'm saying this disease, this COVID-19 disease, does not meet the traditional definition, the historical definition, the traditional medical definition of what constitutes a pandemic. It simply does not. Now, the people that have died, almost always, there probably have been some exceptions, have had what's called comorbidities.
Right.
They've been obese. They've been had heart issues, lung issues, diabetic. They were already at risk from most any disease that came along because they already had a very fragile immune system because of the things I just mentioned, and the COVID-19 was all it took to push them over the edge and kill them. The same people, by the way, who are at risk from the seasonal flu because of the comorbidities. So let's be clear here. There's not now, never has been, a COVID-19 pandemic. That's a fantasy.
By accepted definition of the word pandemic. Go
precisely.
Ahead. Right.
Precisely. Okay. Now, human beings have been dealing with contagious diseases for many centuries. I think Eric's trying to get me on Skype again here.
Eric Tucker, are you playing around there, bro? No, that wasn't him. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Really? Well, yeah. Somebody was. Anyway, regardless. Human beings have dealt with contagious diseases for centuries. And what we do and what works and always has worked for centuries, we quarantine the sick people. We don't quarantine the healthy people. This is an exception. We quarantine the healthy people. It's now pretty widely known, at least within the alternative media, that the PCR test is another fantasy. The man who developed and invented the PCR test has stated publicly it was never meant to be used for this purpose.
And that was Curry Mullis, I believe? Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds right. Now.
At least he's credited. Folks, don't write me. I know there's another person in there, but he's credited with the development of that. But okay. So,
precisely.
Yeah. All right.
Now, the bogus make-believe fantasy PCR test has been used as a pretext and is still being used as a pretext to inflate the numbers of people who have COVID-19, shut down businesses, destroy businesses. In Australia, right now, as we speak, there's people locked up in what amounts to prisons. They're calling them quarantine camps. They are prisons. There's a fence. You can't leave. That sounds like a prison to me. I just saw a video this morning of a woman incarcerated in one of these prisons because of a positive COVID-19 test. She is not symptomatic at all. I don't know if it was a PCR test or not. Most likely it was. But it's what's going on worldwide is wrong. They're using fear and ignorance to herd people to get the experimental COVID-19 vaccinations, which aren't vaccinations. Another definition they had to change. Prior to September, up until August of this year, they couldn't call these things vaccinations legally because they didn't meet the legal definition of what constitutes a vaccination. So what do? Well, you change the definition of what constitutes a vaccination. Tomorrow,
and that was changed on September 1st, by the way, for those keeping track at home. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, today is the 13th of September. The day after tomorrow, unless they change it, all active-duty Army personnel must have the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, or they will suffer the consequences, which will be a career-ending consequences, discipline, possibly a discharge from the military under less than honorable conditions, having their career, possibly their life, ruined because they refused the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. That's the day after tomorrow. The reservists, the Army reservists, have until the June to get their COVID-19 clot shots. Our military is already being dramatically, adversely affected. Men and women who have left the military because they won't get the clot shot, men and women who've died because of the clot shot, men and women who have become ill and disabled because of the clot shot, and of course the tens of thousands of more men and women active duty and reservists, guardsmen, who will be injured, disabled, and killed in the future, in the not too distant future. It is the Chinese generals. I don't know this for a fact, but my belief is they're probably having champagne toast with strawberries and chuckling over defeating the United States without firing a shot. What a dream. What a dream. Now, the...
Before you go on from that, I just want to touch base with you on this. You call the so-called vaccines, which are not vaccines, but you call them clot shots, and there's background for that, folks. So obviously,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah,
there's quite a few lists of what my friend Dr. Lynn Wilbert calls direct effects. I don't call them side effects. Side effects makes it sound like it's something unintentional. The direct effects include micro blood clots that cannot be detected by normal modalities, so small that they can pass through the blood-brain barrier and enter the brain, causing massive problems with people's brains. I've personally noticed, Doug, you probably have too, personality changes in people who've got the COVID-19 clot shot.
Oh, man. You cannot understate that. And by the way, I just want to piggyback on what you said. There was an article that came out this weekend. Dr. Mercola and McCullough, say that real fast, the COVID shots are killing people. And just very quickly, it says this, at a glance here, those at highest risk of dying from COVID-19 are also at the highest risk of dying from the COVID-19 shot. The shots are also causing severe heart damage in younger people whose risk from dying from COVID is inconsequential. And then while you only get 6 months worth of protection from the COVID shot, it seems right now, each injection will cause damage for 15 months as your body continuously produces the toxic spike protein. And the spike protein is responsible for COVID-19 related heart and vascular problems, as you were talking about, John Moore, the Liberty Man. And it has the same effect when produced by your own cells. It causes blood clots, myocarditis and pericarditis, strokes, heart attacks, and neurological damage. Just to name a few, and there it is right there. By the way, the safety signal is very clear, with 19,249 deaths having been reported in the U.S. to VAERS as of November 19th, 2021. So there you have it. John, go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to...
Right. There's more. There's more.
Okay.
One of the well-known direct effects is the COVID-19 vaccination clot shots destroy your immune system. It's becoming more and more apparent, because they can't hide these numbers, that people getting a COVID-19 clot shot are ending up in a hospital with COVID. Well, they're also ending up in a hospital with organ failure and multiple other things, usually related to the heart and lungs, is what they're ending up with. Did you hear me give the Corvette sports car analogy?
No, give it again, please. No.
Okay. Well, what we're observing with world-class athletes, and the few times I played soccer, I was a top athlete myself. I could run a 100-yard dash in 10.0 seconds, and I played soccer. It wore me out so fast it wasn't funny. Point being, these professional soccer players all over the world, especially Europe, is where we're getting the most reports from. We're up to, last I heard was, I think, Thursday or Friday, 109 fatalities among professional soccer players. About 10 times that many, about 1,000 plus, have been injured in some way by the COVID-19 clot shots. Multiple videos, and I got some on my website at thelibertyman.com, of soccer players being on the field, playing their game in practice or an actual game, and just falling over backwards and dying right there on the spot. That doesn't happen. To look at this a bit more carefully, we need a control group. Let's look at 2019, before COVID. One soccer player died, just one. And actually, Doug, I have to apologize. I'm mixing up numbers here. 109 is airline pilots who've died, not soccer players. I apologize. Okay. So,
109 airline pilots?
109 airline pilots, yes. This does need to be discussed. Between the 1st of January and the last day of September, 109. And the control group for them, once again, is 2019. One airline pilot died. Now, it's not clear to me, and Hal Turner's been reporting this, and Hal's been doing some great work. He's being attacked viciously because of his excellent work. But we had one airline pilot die in 2019, and 109 die the first 9 months of this year. There's very few professions where you have to get a complete mandatory physical every 6 months and have to retire at age 60, no matter how healthy you are. That's commercial airline pilots. These are very healthy men and women. It's a 1,700% increase and fatalities among commercial airline pilots. Going back to the soccer players, there's too many numbers floating around in my brain here, but we've had more than 200 soccer players die, and that's where the Corvette analogy comes in, because here's the deal. You got two brand-new Corvette sports cars. You got a 20-year-old driver and a 50-year-old driver. The 20-year-old driver thinks he's A.J. Fart reincarnated, Parnelli Jones, driving that Corvette 1,000 miles a week like crazy. Hard turns, hard braking, hard acceleration. The 50-year-old driver drives his beautiful new sports car, the Corvette, in a normal manner. Normal starting, normal stopping, no hard corners, and he only drives 50 miles a week. The 50-year-old driver will take 20 years to experience with his Corvette what the 20-year-old is going to experience in less than a year. That's what's going on with these athletes. These athletes, their bodies are experiencing stress to every organ in their body much more quickly than normal people. That's why they're dropping over dead, is because of the enhanced stress on their heart and in their lungs, speeding up what will happen to basically everybody in just a couple of years. And that's, I think, a good analogy for what's going on there.
Okay.
Our job.
So wait a second.
Go ahead.
Now, meanwhile, okay, and people have to understand, the war in which we are fighting is far-reaching, and the people who have waged war on us, they want to kill us, or they want us to die, regardless. Now, this doesn't apply necessarily to your family physician, obviously, who's just, you know, but this applies to the people at the upper levels. Now, John, I'm going to throw this up. I don't know if you have this. the FDA thing? Because let's just say you want to be proactive. Take, you know, you don't want that clot shot, as you put it, or Satan semen, as I like to call it. You don't want that because it's really unproven technology. You don't know what it's going to do to your system. Well, yeah, I suppose you do. It's going to give you VAIDS or vaccine acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. But I digress. So you want to be proactive. You want to treat the through your research. You want to treat this early if you happen to become symptomatic with this bioweapon. So you do your research and you order ivermectin as an example. I don't know whether you saw this. Folks, pay attention to this. Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can put this on the screen. It would be the FDA confiscation. So there was an individual who ordered ivermectin. Now, this is an overseas shipment coming into JFK LaGuardia through the Postal Service. And John, in lieu of the shipment, he receives this. A mail shipment addressed to you from a foreign country is being held at the post office at the request of the U.S. FDA. And the product description is ivermectin tablets. All right. 200 tablets.
Right.
Okay. So wait a second. And there's a letter, folks, on your screen. If you go to Rumble or go to HagmanReport.com, Rumble or Brighteon. So wait a second. All right. Now, hold the phone for a second. You can ship weed. You can ship mushrooms. You can ship all sorts of things, and it bypasses the FDA. But you mean to tell me they're going to force an experimental jab, the clot shot, as you call it, Satan semen, as I call it, on everybody, while meanwhile saying, no, we're going to deny you the use of ivermectin. Why? Because, well, you know, the instructions aren't clear on this. That doesn't provide you with enough instructions. Plus, misbranding. The article impounded has been determined to be a prescription drug, but does not include the symbol RX only. Shame on them. That's my opine there, me opining. But it also is off, you know, you're using an off label among the issues. So the reason I brought this up now is because this to me, John, and you can take it from here, this is not just a fight on one level where, hey, we're fighting against this injection. This is a fight where now they're saying you can't do any of this, whether it's order stuff for your health, so you can be proactive. And not only that, we're gonna lock you, as you said, we're gonna lock you down in Australia. We're gonna put you in a camp until you essentially relent. And it's coming here. So this is a huge thing, and people, I just don't understand why people can't see this for what it is. Go ahead, sir.
Well, many can. I bought my supply of ivermectin in August of 2020. I was able to help a neighbor family. They waited too long to get the effect. The key to using ivermectin is use it the first 24 hours that you're symptomatic. If you want to get relief from COVID-19 with ivermectin, use it the first 24 hours. First 12 hours is even better. It's a simple, over-the-counter item that every feed store in the United States or ranch and farm supply store either has or can get with no prescription. It is that common. It is really that common. And so they're blaming the substance for people that may possibly not understand it or possibly may use it, misuse it. Well, that can be true of any substance. Any substance can be used improperly or by individuals. We can't account for that, and we can't have a nanny state protecting everybody from all harm. That can't be done.
You know, they keep these people away from Tide Pods, John, but go ahead. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The soap pods. Yeah. What a disgusting thing that would be. When we were children, putting soap in the children's mouth was a form of punishment, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've had my mouth washed out a couple of times.
Yeah, so regardless, that's kind of a distraction. Our job as broadcast journalist, Doug, your job, my job, Eric the Tech, is to educate people, inform people, so they in turn can educate and inform others to not take the clot shot. If they have unfortunately taken it, to not take any boosters. There's a lot of evidence, a growing body of evidence, that a large percentage of the clot shots are a simple saline solution. So if you took the clot shot and you're not symptomatic, nothing's happened to you, you may be one of those fortunate few. That's certainly a possibility. But we're at war here. There's no two ways about it. A friend of mine, he teaches English to Chinese students in China by video conference. The semester ends this week, I believe. His students are telling him they're going to be donating blood. Well, why would they do that? Well, because the Chinese government has warned the Chinese people, 1.5 billion plus people, to get to prepare for war. If you're getting ready for war, Doug, you want to top off your blood banks. That would be a pretty smart thing to do, wouldn't it, sir?
Yeah, and that's rather disturbing. You came across this information now.
That's from a friend of mine that I had lunch with yesterday.
Okay.
And my friend Jeff Nyquist, you know Jeff.
Yeah.
He says, and Jeff, for those who don't know Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, jrnyquist.blog. Very few human beings have sat across the interview table from a number of former high-level KGB agents who defected to the West, which Jeff Nyquist has done. And he says, John, this is the first time both Russia and China have warned their populations at the same time to prepare for war since World War II. That has not happened ever, and they both have. Having your populations prepared mentally, spiritually, economically, physically for war, if it's about to happen, is a really smart thing to do, don't you think, sir?
Well, I would say now.
Of course it is.
But how can we? So this almost sounds like a war. Including, is there collusion here? Because wait a second, why aren't we getting this memo, so to speak? If they're planning on a war, they're topping off their blood bank supply. Shouldn't we be doing the same thing?
Well, of course we should. But look who's running. Look who's in the Oval Office. A man controlled by the communists. His vice president is a communist. The woman actually running the country, Valerie Jarrett, is a communist Muslim. That's who's Hussein Obama played golf so much that if he was the CEO of General Motors, he would have been fired. You can't play golf that much and be CEO of anything. Valerie Jarrett was actually running the day-to-day business of the country. Obama's luxurious mansion is walking distance from the White House. Valerie Jarrett is there as we speak in the middle of the day on Monday, the 13th of December, running the country. Well, Joe Biden is wondering where he is. I'm not sure he even knows where he is. Apparently when the video monitor said end of message in the last day or two, he said end of message.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. And some people are saying, well, that was taken out of context. And if you're one of those people who believe that, you go back and do some digging, because it wasn't taken out of context. It was an instruction to the presenter, which was Biden. It had nothing to do with the eulogy or the message that was being read at the eulogy by Biden. It was a total misstep. And you know what? People are trying to make excuses for this moron.
Of course.
You know, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Of course they are. That's he's a placeholder. He's an empty suit. That's all Joe Biden is. He was never much as a U.S. senator. Kamala Harris, I believe, will be gone before the president's gone. They need to put in place the person that they want to be president, which I think will be Hillary, quite frankly, before Kamala's gone.
And they say it couldn't be done, can't be done. My buddy, can't be done. And I think you're right, because I don't know whether you saw this, John. She came out and she was crying. She was reading her, I think it was for a TED Talk, she was reading her acceptance speech. But she was crying too about it, which, oh my gosh. But there seems to be some prep here, some mental or psychological prep that's being made. But go ahead.
Well, absolutely. Well, they probably, this is a heavily medicated woman, Hillary Clinton. They probably try to keep her meds evened out so she doesn't make a fool of herself in public, but she's dangerous. This is a very dangerous woman who's wanted to be president for 20 plus years, probably longer. Her nickname in college was the Little Red because of her communist leanings, even when she was in college half a century ago. My friend Dr. Bill Deagle says that Hillary Clinton comes from an old line European family of witches and warlocks, and I don't doubt that for a moment. When Clinton was president, I had a source in the White House Secret Service detail who said that Hillary would throw these heavy glass ashtrays at the president, trying to hit him in the head. What a witch. But that's what's... She's in line to be president. It was promised to her. A lot of what we're seeing with this Chinese investment group, was it Grand? What is the name of that thing?
Evergrande. Evergrande, which I think they were put out of their misery through a bankruptcy filing this weekend.
Well, that was part of the plan. That was part of the plan to bring down the country under Hillary Clinton. It came down on its own, as it turns out, but that was part of the plan under Hillary Clinton, was to have Evergrande be part of the economic collapse of the United States. There's people who say that Donald Trump has controlled opposition. You don't create opposition that destroys your plans. You simply don't do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you believe that, John?
Not at all.
Okay, all right.
Not even a little bit. No, he's the first true outsider we've had run for president. That got elected that I can think of. Ross Perot was a true outsider, but he didn't get elected. They threatened his family. That's why he backed off. Let's talk a little bit about world leaders. There's 195 presidents, kings, prime ministers, 195 countries. Only five of those presidents, kings, prime ministers decided to not cooperate and get their countries get the COVID clot shot. All five are dead. All five are dead, including the prime minister, our president in Africa, who tested a piece of grapefruit with the PCR test and it came back positive. So we have the Haiti president. There's a lot of speculation about the men that were the hit team. Were they communist Chinese or not? I haven't seen the evidence. I don't know. The other four, I'm pretty sure, were in Africa. And they're all dead. And these men and women who are kings, prime ministers, and presidents, they all got the memo. Cooperate or we'll kill you and everybody in your family. And I don't care who you are, there are powers above these presidents, kings, and prime ministers that can accomplish that if they choose to. Assassination of these individuals. Of course there is. That's been talked about for years. Going back to Woodrow Wilson, if I can paraphrase what Woodrow Wilson said about powers so strong and powerful that strong and powerful men are afraid to talk about them above a whisper. Well, that was a century ago, slightly more than a century ago, and of course that has not gone away. Doug, we need to keep emphasizing and keep repeating ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, do not get the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. If you know somebody who hasn't got it and they're considering it, warn them. Present evidence. There's lots of evidence on my website, written interviews and video interviews with top scientists who, one scientist won a Nobel Prize for his work in immunology. Then we have Dr. Mike Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, serious credentials that can't be disputed, warning people, these individuals, warning people to not get the clot shot, to not get a booster, and possibly save a life.
Well, let me ask you, and this is going to ring true or ring familiar with the listeners and viewers of this broadcast. John, how do you personally handle this? Let's say, now I know you've had no need for a medical doctor. I know that you have not, but let's say your neighbor, your loved one, or you eventually do, where, you've got to consult a doctor and the doctor says, or doctor asks you, have you had your vaccination yet? Okay. And this happened to me last week. And you attempt to not debate, that's not the right word. But you attempt to say, wait a minute, I've got some questions, and we, you know, can we talk about this? Because one size does not fit all, and what's good for other people may not be good for me, although you should, by your position, know that. But let's talk about the long-term effects, and let's talk about the risk-benefit analysis. And if that physician, and I'm going to, here's my question, because somebody gave me a four-word answer, four words to me, okay? And this is easier said than done. But if your physician says to you, John, or your loved one, no, you know, you need to be vaccinated. You can't be. Ivermectin is a snake oil. We have to cut the head off that snake. Vitamin, you know, nutritional supplements only work so much. I mean, folks, I know you've been there. I know you've, whether it's a doctor, a nurse, your pediatrician, your neighbor, your mother, your whatever. How do you handle people like that, John? How do you, John Moore, handle people like that who refuse to look at evidence? Go ahead.
Good question. Excellent question. First of all, I have access to a medical doctor friend who that's not going to be an issue with, and he's a great guy. When you run to somebody who will not look at evidence, medical doctor or not, you're wasting God's good clean air even talking to these people, quite frankly. You really are. Very good friend of mine, he plays poker with three medical doctors once a month. In the June poker game, he found out two things. First of all three doctors thought the COVID-19 vaccination clot shots were FDA approved. Number two, they all three got the COVID-19 vaccination clot shots. So these doctors aren't lying. They think they're telling the truth. They believe they're telling the truth. Many of them, possibly most of them, have got the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot themselves. It's hopeless. And doctors are used to being right all the time. There's a saying in aviation, what's the most dangerous thing in the air? A medical doctor with a twin-engine airplane. If you haven't heard that, Doug, it's pretty common within the aviation, within general aviation.
That's a good one, by the way. Yeah.
Well, it's true. Yeah. From the time they graduate from medical school, they're held to this elevated status throughout society. When they leave work, that elevated status doesn't change. There have been men who would buy scrubs and a stethoscope and make up a authentic-looking ID just to go in a bar and pick up women who thought he was a doctor. So this elevated status is affects these people, and they think they know everything, when in fact, of course, they don't know everything. They can't. They're human beings. So I don't see any point in attempting to talk to them, quite frankly. I really don't.
The forward answer for those listening to me was get a new doctor. Okay.
Exactly.
I get, look, folks, I get the fact that you can't get a new mother or even a new father, whatever. I get all that. You can't change if they refuse to look at facts or even entertain other possibilities. It's not going to work. John, we believe it or not, man, time goes so fast. We only have about like 3 minutes left. So 2 minutes okay. left. 2 minutes left. All right, 2 minute warning. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Well, first of all, Doug, I now do a lot of private consultations, helping people get the clarity, the focus that they need to achieve their goals. There are details at my website at thelibertyman.com.
So how do they contact you? By email? By email.
Okay. Email. My telephone numbers are too. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. Right. As you mentioned, I do a 3-hour live show Monday through Friday with interesting guests, interesting topics, highly qualified, like my friend Professor McCanny or my friend Sam Andrews that you're getting to know better.
Oh, yeah.
World-class individuals in their areas of expertise. Yep. And everything's linked. My live shows and my archives. I have archives on Republic Broadcasting, Rumble, and Brighteon, so you can listen anytime you want. You can listen live Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time, and it's an education.
It is.
It's a great education, absolutely.
And, you know, I've got to say this, folks. Take advantage of John's consultations. It's kind of like life lessons in a sense. Contact John Moore by way of thelibertyman.com, link will be in the program description box. From there, you can find his email and phone number. If you can't find it, then you know what? I'll tell you what, you need more than lessons he's given. All right. So, John, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for all you're doing. And, you know, you really have a lot of great information out there. These statistics you quoted are staggering. So, but brother, we're out of time.
Well, they are.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We look forward to next Monday. And hopefully everything will work.
Yes. Yes. All right, John. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Again, folks, I'm not going to be in tomorrow. Which will be Tuesday. Please say a prayer for my wife, who's undergoing surgery tomorrow. It shouldn't be too bad. Hope to have her home by the end of the week. Until next time, may God bless. Good night.